Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This podcast is about sex. If you're faint-hearted or easily offended, you might not want to listen, but you should. Join me, Tracy Cox, and Kelsey Chittick as we share honest and real sex advice on this award-winning podcast.
Tracy is an international sex educator and author of lots of books about sex and relationships.
Kelsey is a podcaster, comedian, and author who is getting out of her comfort zone both in the bedroom and in these conversations.
Each week, we answer three anonymous sex and relationship questions sent in by you, our listeners. And nothing is off limits. Here's Sex Talk. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Sex Talk with Tracy and Kelsey. Hope everybody is having a great day. Spring has sprung, and there's a lot of hope for this season.
But it's not sprung over here. I'm looking out the window, and it's miserable, grey, wet, cold, windy.
When does it get better in London?
Oh, God, it's soon, I think. Soon.
Yeah.
Similar season to you, yeah. I think we're in the same sort of thing. It's meant to be better, but it's not.
Yeah, I think March is always kind of dicey, but we woke up today and I was like, our time changed, which is why I almost missed our time together because I forgot that we had sprung forward. But it is, for me, when the time changes, it's like light and joy and happiness is possible, mm-hmm. and possibly sex and dating and all the things that come with that. But it just feels like everybody here is, and it's always pretty good here in LA, but we've had a really rainy, cold, dark winter. So I feel hopeful. And
yes, light is really important, I think. I think so. I don't really mind cold, but so long as it's light, I think it's the enough dreariness. Happy. It's always happy in Tracy and Kelsey land, isn't it, Kelsey?
Let's talk about sex.
On Sex Talk.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get
actually,
started.
The first question's not very happy either, is it?
No. And I'm feeling like I'm being attacked in this question. I'm feeling like it feels a little too close to home, but we'll go ahead and look into it. Here we go. First question. I'm wondering if I'm a little full on too early on when I go on dates. I love having deep, intense conversations and hate small talk. Some men seem to love it, but one guy recently told me I was a bit heavy and to lighten up. What's your view on this?
I love this question. I'll tell you why. It's because both Kelsey and I are guilty of this. Kelsey, I think, even edges past me, but certainly when I was out there dating before I met my lovely husband, I remember one guy, we were on, I think, date three, and we were lying on his bed talking. He said, oh my God, I've never talked like this. And then he said, turned to me and he said, shouldn't we be ripping each other's clothes off? And I thought, yeah, you probably should be, rather than just talking. And I do think that the deep emotion, intense bit, you know, like I think both Kelsey and I have been told we're too much, we're too intense, we're too this, we're too that. To try and not be like that on a date is almost impossible. So why would you pretend to be someone else? And do you really want to date somebody who only wants to talk about Love Island or, you know, the weather, or who wants to do that? No one wants to do that. But as to how much emotional intimacy is appropriate, I think there are a couple of things that I want to say. First one is, I think if you deep dive too soon, you can get attached to somebody before you actually know who you're getting attached to, which isn't necessarily good for either of you. And I think also, and I've had this problem, what's normal for you could be unique for them. So lots of people don't have people asking them deeply intimate personal questions or sharing their deeply intimate lives. So they think, oh my God, this person really, really likes me. And for you, it's just the norm. You know, you had that sort of day. So they can be led on into thinking that they're far more important than they are. So I think you need to look out for them. But then I have a list of six guidelines. But before I keep going, do you want to get a word in somewhere?
Yes. I think this is what I know. I have tried so hard to kind of be a little smaller are a little less big. I also realize that it's not for me, it's the connection is intellectual for me. Like it is a soul connection. I don't know how to do it lightly because I don't really want lightly. I've never been like carefree and fun and like have a one night stand. Like that's never been my jam. I mean, I'd like to try it. I am trying, but it just, for me, if I don't like your brain and your soul, it's hard for me to be attracted to you. So what I'm attracted to.
So she might be the same then.
Yeah. This woman might be the same because sometimes what we're looking for is a soul connection. And that might not, it probably is too soon in the beginning. I've tried to slow down. What that means for me mostly is stop talking. I don't do well with silences. So if there is one, but most people are like, there wasn't a silence. We were just pausing. And I'm like, oh, interesting. Yeah. And I think too about my marriage or the people I dated, like there's a certain point at a certain age where you go, this is who I am. And if you like it, great. So for her, you know, they might not be able to handle it. And that's okay because there is a guy out there who just enjoys listening and wants somebody with a lot of energy. So you have to decide, you know, is it somewhere where I can pull back a little bit and just be aware of my excitement or my nervousness? Or is this guy just not going to ever want to be with someone who is so big?
Yeah, good points. I would say my guidelines, because I was thinking this through and I think the first thing is that it's all very individual. Some men love to talk. Some men love to tell all their intimate secrets. Some men don't. So very much read their body language. If they seem awkward, if they're like, look a bit embarrassed by your revelations, then sort of lay off. I would say, and I've said this to you, Kelsey, you need to mix in some sexual signals if you're going to do a big talky date, because otherwise they're like, oh, okay, they just like me as a friend. Marathon dates, we know with research that they really aren't a great thing in relationships. And I bet, you know, people who have intense dates often do marathon dates. They stay up till 6 o'clock in the morning talking and they think it's amazing. But research shows that people who begin with a marathon date usually fizzle out quite fast. So that's not necessarily a good sign. You're meant to really, I mean, the rule for a first date is that you're meant to give it good idea of what you're about, but leave them wanting more. So if you're going to be up telling them everything, you're probably not leaving them wanting more. The other thing is that you can get addicted to the beginning bit. I mean, that beginning bit where you're telling stories and going, oh my God, that's happened to me. Oh my God, I can't believe you're like that. Is so euphoric, isn't it? I mean, it's just so such an exhilarating feeling that if you have a normal date, you're like, oh, this is much fun. You just keep wanting that. And eventually that wears off and suddenly you're not staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning because, you know, it's real life. So you can then go, well, this guy isn't right for me and move on. So be careful that you're not building this into some, you know, sort of addictive behavioral trait with all your dates. Some people take time to let their guard down. So some people take time to warm up. You don't know what their background is, what their baggage is. So perhaps give them a little bit of time just because, you know, there's nothing wrong with a slow burn is what I'm trying to say. And also finally, please be careful who you tell your intimate details to, because there are some people who might use them against you. You never know. So just be a little bit careful and cautious.
Yeah, no, I think, and you help me a lot whenever I go out on dates, I always talk to Tracy first because she's an expert, everybody. And I need help.
Not dating, really.
Yeah, not anymore, from a long time ago. But I do think I read something which was just shocking, which was everybody isn't like you. And that was a revelation to me because for some reason, I assume, you know, that my process and how I do things is what we all do or what we should do. And it's dating has really helped me realize that. And remember, I never dated. I met Nate when I was 19 and that was it. Like, I literally don't understand dating. I don't understand the like how long you wait to text. I don't understand any of the rules, nor do I like them. Because for me, I always kind of knew right away. I will say now though, I am giving it more time to unfold and be curious about, you know, what they have going on in their life and how it might be different from mine. So for her, I think, you know, you have to, you trust your gut on how you feel about them as a human. And then you have some grace and try to say like, okay, we come from different backgrounds. We have different lives. We're older now. You know, you're not 18, 19, 20 when everyone's looking to get married or find or have fun. I don't know what the opposite of getting married would be, but maybe just having a good time. So yeah, I think self-awareness is important, and it's hard because I like everything to be told within two dates. And I want the whole, I need to get it all out and then I can relax. It's almost like if I don't share it, it didn't happen. Mm. No, that sounds weird.
Yeah. I think she should be who she is, but just perhaps be, just try and turn the dial down a little bit. That would be my advice.
She's looking at me going, and you too, sister. And you know that the story I share isn't light and fun. I mean, I just drop it like a bomb. And you should see dear. People's faces. Poor God. Oh, God. But yes, agreed. And I'm working on it. And so, friend, wherever you are, a little less, just a little less. And see if you can do that. All right. Next question.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This we talk about all the time with our girlfriends. All right. I was diagnosed with depression in my early 20s and have been on and off antidepressants all of my life. When I take the pills, I have no desire to have sex at all. When I do, it's not enjoyable. Stimulation feels stunted and it's hard to reach a climax. My mood is better when I'm on them, but I feel I have to stop for the sake of my relationship. My partner's very understanding, but it's not fair. We're only in our late 30s. I've been off them for 3 months this time and not noticed any return of my libido. Will it eventually come back?
It's a real problem, isn't it? It really is a real problem. So the thing about depression is that antidepressants, yes, they do affect your sex drive, but so does depression. So if your cortisol and, you know, cortisol, and serotonin, which is the happy hormone, are all out of whack, you're in a low mood, low energy, a bit like the antidepressants, and you don't want to have sex. So it's a bit of a sort of two-way thing, isn't it? Do you take them or don't you? But we do know, there's no doubt at all that SSRIs definitely affect you. For men, they can get delayed ejection. And in fact, lots of guys with premature ejection take antidepressants to stop themselves coming too fast. And then what happens? This is a whole other interesting little cycle. So men get delayed ejaculation or they can't orgasm at all. The woman, if they haven't told the woman or their partner that they're on antidepressants, they then feel it's them. They feel rejected. They get depressed and they get put on antidepressants. It's just like this weird cycle. For women, it's vaginal dryness, it's painful sex. And this has a horrible effect as well, because if sex is painful, you don't want to have sex. Let alone the antidepressant not making you feel like sex, you just don't feel like it. But basically, they are designed to make you float through life, not feel particularly bad and not feel particularly good. The other thing they do is numb the genitals, so it can take a lot more stimulation. Now, the solutions are, there's one thing that sort of struck me as the most obvious, but I don't know if she thought of it, is the higher the dose, the more effect it's going to have on your libido. So can she get the same effect where she doesn't feel depressed, but sort of settle on a lower dose where it's not affecting her sex drive as much? Experiment with different types. They're different names each country, but parazetine seems to be by far the worst. So look up whatever drug you're on and see if it's got that or whether it's called the same thing. There's something called mirtazapine, which is the best for your libido and sexual function. But here's a lovely surprise. It makes you gain weight, which could affect your confidence and your libido. Though the fact that this woman is midlife, this has to be addressed as well, is that so many women are being given antidepressants when in fact they should be given HRT. because depression, low estrogen leads to low mood. So it could easily be that. And women are twice as likely as men to be diagnosed with depression when half the time it's just that their hormones are out of kilter. There are other possible ways to beat depression, which I'm sure she probably knows, but just in case anyone doesn't, light exposure, as we were talking about, Kelsey, is very, very important. Exercise, there's been a big study done that regular walking, jogging, yoga, and weight training all really impact depression. Talking therapy, going to see someone to talk about your problems, there's been several studies now that show it's almost as effective as taking a drug. In fact, in some cases, more effective. And so I would strongly recommend that you try, if you really can't handle that and you honestly think it's affected your sex drive that badly, look at other ways, lower your dose and try some of these other things, and especially the HRT angle, if you haven't checked that one out.
Yeah, I mean, I have a couple of friends who, you know, it's hard too when you're married and you have young kids, or you know, the day-to-day is kind of hard. And so sometimes we don't know what it is that's causing us to feel down. Is it our job? Is it just the monotony? Is it that we just have had sex with them for a really long time? Or are we sad and you know, depressed? So I think this is something that the more we talk about it and the more people try different things, the better you'll be able to figure out what it is exactly. And I'm a huge believer in light, which is what I was talking about. And I'm a huge believer in moving your body.
Yeah.
I was just talking about this with a friend, and you know, music can elevate, like if you want to have sex with music, I'm a huge music sex person.
No, are you?
I just love it so much. I don't even, because first of all, I don't want to hear just of the bed. I don't want to hear that. And no. For some reason, for me, when I play music, whether it be like a sexual song or something beautiful, it drops me out of my head and kind of into my heart, which then lets me feel a little more free and a little more joyful about sex.
I think music is really important in people's lives. We underestimate how much it can change our mood.
Totally. And I think we underestimate it as a aphrodisiac in the bedroom. I think if you're not in the mood and you turn on a song that's kind of sexy, or it takes you out of just the silence of the room and you being like, I'm taking my clothes off and there he is, you know? And so you have like a moment. So music is important. I think lighting is important in a room. I think there's a bunch of things that, although you might be taking something that is turning your desire down a bit, there are things that can make you feel better. I think exercise makes you feel better because you pump the blood, and also you feel better about how your body looks because you're feeling more fit. And so I don't know. We talk about this a ton in our friend group, and I think you just can't, it isn't one or the other. It's not be on antidepressants and have bad sex, or don't and have good sex. There's a lot in between that
you can
try.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And definitely try the different types of, because everybody that I've known that has experimented a little bit with the different types and how they affect their sex libido and sex drive has found a better drug. So I think it's definitely worth it.
Yeah, for sure.
Trying that.
All right, last question. We're a straight couple in our early 40s. We both rate our sex life as good, but we are a bit lazy and don't try new things very often. Maybe we aren't terribly imaginative. Any suggestions on what to try? Also, how often should you try something new?
Well, the thing about trying new things is that everybody thinks, oh my God, it's got to be crazy, kinky, and, you know,
pegging.
Really something big, dramatic. Yeah, something like pegging for it to count. But the truth is, if you try one or two small things and keep it consistently and build from there, that's going to have a much better effect on your sex life than dragging out one fantastically, you know, out there thing once a year. So the answer is like small things quite regularly. Now, the reason why there are people like me in the world is so you don't have to think. So if you go onto my website and you type in literally into the search engine, new things to try in bed, there are tons and tons and tons of blogs. So I looked at the first one that came up, which was called 20 New Things to Do in Bed. And there's a whole big list, right? So you look at it, your partner looks at it, maybe pick five that you both agree on. Now, and, you know, things on the list are things like tie each other up, act out a fantasy, forbid certain things, like taking something away is a good thing to do it. Temperature play, where you experiment with warm and cold, new oral sex positions, new intercourse positions, do it in different places. Use a blindfold, make a sex video, experiment with food, do mutual masturbation. I mean, there's a lot you can do. And so that's just a tiny, tiny, tiny bit. So once you've picked out a few that appeal to you, I think it's a very good idea to have like a sex night once every 2 weeks, once a month, once every 6 weeks, whatever suits you. And each of you has to take turns in planning. So one person becomes the giver and the other person becomes the taker. And this is another new thing. And that is the most dramatic change you can make to your sex life, is to change roles, because you'll have one person who's always the boss and one person who always sort of gets, you know, taken care of. So if you've taken turns to sort of sort out this new thing, then you reverse those roles. So that's always a good thing. I think intercourse positions are a very easy way to mix things up, and you need to try at least six to end up with one that you add onto your regular. Oral sex positions are another easy way to mix things up, and new positions for oral sex. Oral sex techniques and oral sex positions, tons of those on my website as well. And also keep a list of everything that you've done that you like, because you will just forget it otherwise. It's like new recipes. I have like the new recipes, tried and true, that I've liked, because otherwise you forget. So keep a little list of things. And then you'll find, if you get into the habit of trying new little things, you'll keep in the habit. So it sort of sets up a sort of cycle that you'll stick to. But yeah, it doesn't need to be dramatic, but you certainly do need to be trying something new. At least, depends on how often you have sex. So say every fourth or fifth time you have sex would be great to try something, even just a little new thing. You're looking at me with raised eyebrows. Do you think that's not enough or too much?
I mean, I would love that. We were talking about this with our group of friends, and everybody's in their 40s and been married a long time. What I will never understand, and I think you can still have good sex, but there is something that becomes familiar about your partner that makes trying new things. And I'm not saying this is like in a creepy way, but they're your family. Like, this is the person that you want to do life with. So I always struggled because when we would try new things, I would like laugh, because I'd be like, but wait, it's us, you know, like we just clean the oven.
Uncommon.
You know, we clean the oven, and then we actually just planted trees. And now you want me to like have anal play? Like, I don't think
that
works.
That's why you have to just do it and force yourself doing it.
I would laugh.
It doesn't matter if you laugh. It doesn't matter if you laugh. You just keep going. And then the more you do it, the more you're good at flipping from one thing to another thing.
That's true.
But if you always stay in there cleaning the oven and planting the trees, it does. It appears ridiculous. It's the longer
ridiculous.
You go having sex, you look at your partner and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to piss myself. Yeah, you are like that. Yeah. So that's why you have to force yourself through that. If you laugh, you laugh. You just keep going.
Yeah. And once I always remember that the starting was always awkward because you had transferred from the life in your home and this great friendship that you have. And now you're like, okay, we're going to do something naughty. And Nate used to always say, like, have you been naughty? And I'd be like, no. And he's like, Kelsey. And I'm like, okay, wait. And he'd be like, have you been naughty? And I'd be like, yes, I've been bad, you know, but it felt like, but we would.
And once you get going, you get past the awkwardness.
This is
you?
The thing. Once it starts to feel good and someone hits the right spot, literally, then you're like, okay, I can drop into this. But it does. It's a tough road to the beginning of that experience. And then once you get into it, it's great because you kind of check out.
So what about the new, you raised your eyes when I said once every five times to try something new. Is that too little or too much?
I mean, I think if somebody does it, that's aggressive. I would assume people have sex maybe once or twice a month in their 40s, you know, maybe three times if they're really busy. I don't know anybody.
What was she, 30s or 40s? Was she 30s?
40s.
Yeah. Once or twice a month. Yeah, probably about right.
Yeah.
So at least once.
Twice a year.
No.
Okay, three times.
I know. That's not enough. God, six times a year.
How often do you and husband just get wild and try something new?
Listen, I'm 62.
What?
We were really good.
There's no way you're that age.
Sort of. We were really good, actually. We still are quite good. We still are quite good with trying new things.
But you're right. That's the long. So in your 40s, though, you should still be trying.
It'd be a bit sad if I wasn't trying new things, wouldn't it?
Right.
Because of what I do. So you're almost obliged to try new things, to just try them out before you pass them on to other people. But I think the thing is, when you do try something new, it does liven things up a bit. Doesn't
True.
It? It
no,
really
you're
does.
Right.
So it's with anything. You know, I don't understand why people go on holidays to the same place every year. What the hell's, I don't understand.
You know what? We used to do that. And now I'm like, why would we go back to the same place? And I had friends that were like, why do you keep doing the same thing? Why do you go to Palm Springs the same thing? And you realize we get into ruts. As it's easy. Mm. You just know where to go. You know what to expect, and you know you're going to have an okay time.
Yeah, and that's the same with sex. You got the position. It's boring. It might be efficient and it might be quick, but it's not going to be exciting. So if you mix it up just a little bit, your brain is very easily confused, honestly, especially as you get older. Even if you lie at a different end of the bed, it thinks it's doing something wildly exciting.
You know, I switched sides of the bed after Nate died, and it's like a whole new room, a whole new experience. Mm. I needed to. I had to get off of that side. And I'll tell you, I will say you're correct, which she's good. But I pray the next time I'm in a serious relationship and a committed one that I remember that the fun is the newness, and you have to work at it. And I've gotten really good at accepting new things and new lives and things. So in my bedroom, so who's ever the lucky man, I just want them to know already that I am going to be flip it, pop it, put it in my pocket, all sorts of new moves and new ways, because I do. I think it's a choice, and I think it's a muscle that you have to build.
That's right. I mean, I just think of my girlfriends. I have some girlfriends who, honestly, by the time I've actually had a cup of coffee in the morning on a weekend, they have gone out, climbed Everest, been to like 500 Get Fit classes, you know, like
that's
just
me.
Are you?
Oh, yeah.
Have you done all that? Oh, my God.
I'm up at 6. I walk every morning at 6.
Yeah.
By 9 o'clock, my day's almost done.
Oh, God.
But I only have friends that are the opposite. They're like at 10 o'clock, they're like, I'm just now getting out of bed and I'm enjoying my Saturday. You know,
good. I'm that friend. No, I don't mind getting up. I love getting up and going for a walk, but they just have accomplished so much. But anyway, so you're going to get, if you're the couple, going back to the question, if you're the couple who are quite lazy and quite happy like that, then make it twice a year that you do something new, you know. But if you really do want to try and just give it a chance, and try something new every 4 times you have sex, try that for a couple of months, or just try that for a year and see how you go. I bet you if you do that, you'll rate your sex life much higher at the end.
Agreed.
You will.
And I think a lot of couples, married couples in their 40s, have stopped French kissing. Bring it back. There's nothing better than a French kiss.
But even that could be quite embarrassing as well.
That's really weird. That's why you should start there. You just be like, open up. Here we go. Yeah. No, it's true. All right. Well, I feel like we've got a lot of great information for everybody. Anything else?
I think they probably know a little bit too much about us that they're not really like, ooh, didn't really need to know that. Anyway, that's enough. Right. We're off. See you next week.
See you next week. Take care.
For listening to Sex Talk. If you'd like your question answered on the show, send it to us at sextalkpod.com. So that's sextokpod.com. You'll find info about my books, sex products, and more sex advice at tracycox.com. And that's Tracy with an E. My 2 sex toy ranges are sold online through lovehoney.com. Super Sex is for everyone, and Edge is designed for men who want to enhance their performance.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
If you like this podcast, please send it to your friends and rate and review wherever you listen to your podcasts.